James
chapter 2. My brothers, don't believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, when respecting persons. In other words, don't think that, this person must be really great and I must really respect him. If you believe in Jesus as the Lord of glory, his greatness, having had our nature but never sinning and now exalted up in the heavens when he was just a man of our nature, his greatness and his glory is such that we should not therefore give glory to men, thinking, this is the boss of the company, this is the rich man or whoever. But if there comes any into your assembly or your synagogue, because in those days the earliest Christians met within the synagogues because they were Jews, if there comes into your assembly a man with a gold ring in nice clothes, and there comes in also a poor man in very poor clothes, if you respect him who wears the nice clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor brother, you can stand over there or you can sit here under my footstool, won't you then become judges of evil thoughts? That is, the evil thought arises in your mind that rich brother must be better than the poor brother. And he says, don't think like that. Don't judge like that. Listen, my beloved brothers, hasn't God chosen the poor of this world who are rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he's promised to those that love him? But you have despised the poor. Don't rich men oppress you and drag you before the judgment seats? Don't they blaspheme that worthy name which is called upon you? So then, when we're baptized, the name of Jesus is called upon us. And that was being blasphemed by those who are persecuting the Christians. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you respect persons, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as sinners. So, if you are to love your neighbor as yourself, it doesn't matter if your neighbor is rich or poor, you're still to love them as you love yourself. For whoever will keep the whole law but break it, one point of it, he's guilty of all. And that's why there's no point saying, we should keep the Sabbath, we should do this, that, and the other out of the law of Moses. Well, no, because you either keep the whole thing or nothing. And even if you keep all of it and break one little bit, you're guilty. And you can't keep all the law of Moses, especially today, because there's no priesthood, there's no sacrifices, there's no temple, etc. He that said, don't commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you don't commit adultery, but if you kill, you're still a breaker of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. So we are to speak, and that means we need to watch our words as those who will be judged. Because as Jesus says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So our words will, as it were, be quoted back to us at the day of judgment. And he shall have judgment without mercy who has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What does it profit, my brothers, though a man say he's got faith and doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and without daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them those things which are necessary to the body, what use is that? And so faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead being alone. Yes, a man may say, well, you've got faith and I've got works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So what he's saying is that there is a connection between faith and works that is so close that you cannot say that, well, I've got faith and you've got works, so together we're good. No. If you really believe, you will really do the works. In other words, you cannot just believe all these wonderful things about God, and that's where it stays. If you really believe them, you will act. Otherwise, it's just knowledge and not faith. You believe that there's one God, and that's good. The demon-possessed people also believe and tremble. They used to tremble when they were, or shake when they were cured. Now, we believe that the language of demon possession is a way that they had of talking about mental illness. And Jesus, of course, cured lots of those people. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see how faith worked with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? So he believed the promise that through Isaac his seed would be called. He believed that through Isaac somehow his seed, the many seeds he was going to have, as many as the stars in the sky, that would all come true. And that's why when God told him to offer Isaac, he said to the men who were waiting for them when he left them and went off with Isaac to offer him, he said, we'll go over there and sacrifice and we will come again to you. So he believed that somehow Isaac is going to be resurrected. And so he was justified by the works of offering his son. And so the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So none of us are righteous, and that includes Abraham, but God looked at him as if he was righteous because he believed. And so it is really with love. If you love someone, you look at them as far better than they really are. That's what love is. And this is put here in this rather technical language, that God imputed righteousness to Abraham. He was the friend of God. Now, how amazing is that? That God actually has got friends. It's like a man saying, I've got a friend, a little ant, who lives in this little corner under the table. He's my friend. It all seems rather strange, but that is how God is with man. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. So also Rahab the harlot was justified by works when she had received the spies, the messengers, and had sent them out another way. Well, she believed their message. That's why the spies here are called messengers, because they had the message of the good news of God's kingdom, that the kingdom of God, based around the people of Israel, was going to be established in Israel, and she believed that. And they accepted her. And so she showed her faith by hiding the spies and sending them out another way. And lying about it. So in a funny way, her lie here is sort of commended. First, the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead as well. So there is no possibility of just painlessly believing the things that we know about God. We can't just know them. If you really believe them, you will really act upon them, and your life is going to show that.